Federal Parliament is back today for the final sitting fortnight before the winter recess, and changes to the citizenship laws, the Gonski schools funding package and the increase in the Medicare levy will all be up for debate over the next 2 weeks, as will Alan Finkel's roadmap for a lower emissions future. The clean energy target will be discussed in the government party room this morning. Former Prime Minister Tony Abbott has already rejected the proposed target, saying it's an unworkable plan that will put a tax on coal.
It's going to be a magic pudding. Now, we all know that there is no such thing as a magic pudding. And if you are rewarding one type of energy, inevitably that money's got to come from somewhere, either from consumers or taxpayers. And if it's from consumers, it's effectively a tax on coal, and that's the last thing we want.
So, Tony Abbott signalling the so-called climate wars are far from over. Matthias Cormann is the finance minister and deputy leader of the government in the Senate. He's in our Parliament House studios. Minister, welcome back to breakfast.
Good morning. Good to be back.
The Finkel review of the electricity market, it's going to be discussed in your party room this morning. The PM obviously needs to take the temperature of the backbench before deciding whether to adopt it and what actual target to adopt. Will it get the support in the party room?
It's a very important blueprint to ensure that we can have secure, reliable energy supplies into the future, which are affordable and which still help us meet our emissions reduction targets. So it'll be a very important conversation for us to have. And obviously the cabinet and the party room have yet to make decisions in relation to some of the specifics. I mean, what we've received so far is a report which went to the Council of Australian Governments from Professor Finkel, and the government and the party will now consider our response.
It's a market-based mechanism. You're the finance minister. Will you be recommending to your colleagues to endorse this? Do you support it?
As I say, we're yet to make decisions. I certainly support. Well, I certainly support us providing a very thoroughly considered response to the Finkel report. To do nothing is certainly not an option. The biggest cost and the biggest tax that we could impose on consumers and taxpayers would be to do nothing. So what we do have to do is to ensure that we embrace a blueprint that will help us bring down the cost of energy, which will help us ensure increased security and reliability of energy into the future.
And do you think this is the right blueprint? That's what I'm wondering, whether you think this is the right plan.
Well, it is a very good blueprint, but we are yet to make specific decisions in relation to things like the appropriate baseline for a clean energy target, for example. I mean, it is a very substantial report. It's a very important report. As a government, as a country, we need to embrace this once-in-a-generation opportunity to sustainably transform our energy policy framework.
That's where the tension is, isn't it? The emissions intensity threshold or baseline, as you describe it. The Finkel plan modelled 600 kilos of CO2 per megawatt of electricity, is that right? Which would advantage renewables like wind and solar and gas. But so-called cleaner coal technologies wouldn't make that baseline most people consider. When it comes to striking the right balance, is that about the right setting, do you think?
Well, I'm going to have that conversation, obviously, as part of the cabinet deliberation and the deliberations within our party room. I'm not going to preempt these sorts of conversations. But what I would say in relation to renewable energy, for example, is the very important recommendation in the Finkel report that we ought to actually ensure that for new renewable energy generation into the future, that there ought to be appropriate provision for storage, for example, to ensure that there is better stability in the system. I mean, the Finkel report is a very substantial report which goes across the whole gamut of energy policy challenges that we need to consider moving forward.
Senator Xenophon was on AM. Obviously, the three votes that his party controls in the Senate are key to this. He said there's nothing in this plan to bring down the price of gas, and that the chief scientist was not asked to look at gas prices. And yet he says we could be facing a recession within a year because businesses will close due to skyrocketing gas bills.
Well, we've focused on bringing down the cost of electricity, and we're being technology agnostic. I mean, what we need to ensure is that we've got an investment environment, an environment for investors where they can have confidence to invest in what are very capital intensive investments when it comes to energy generation. We want to bring down the cost of energy overall, put downward pressure on the prices of energy.
This doesn't
overall.
Do that much, though. I mean, it stops it going up. But what's the estimate? $90 for households, the electricity
bill.
Dr.
Finkel says that energy prices under his blueprint would be 10% lower for consumers, 20% lower for industrials. And I mean, that is obviously a significant reduction compared to the status quo. And that sort of shows you what sort of cost burden we would be imposing on consumers and on business if we didn't act. I mean, the truth is that Australia is an open trading economy. We compete with countries around the world, and having reliable, secure access to affordable, competitively priced energy supplies is, of course, a very important part of our international competitiveness. And so if you look at a proposition by Dr. Finkel where energy prices for industrials would be 20% lower than they otherwise would be, I mean, that is obviously a very significant reduction compared to the status quo.
Obviously, there's a lot of politics around. You heard that grab from Tony Abbott at the start of the interview where he says this clean energy target is a magic pudding, which is nothing other than a tax on coal. Is a price on carbon, as is implied within this system, is it a tax on coal?
Well, it's not a tax on coal. Very clearly, it's not a tax on coal. I mean, what you will see if you look at the data and if you look at the evidence is that the price of electricity has been going up in recent times and is projected to continue to go up and up and up if we do nothing. The worst thing that we could do for consumers and taxpayers is to do nothing. We need to embrace this blueprint that's been put forward by Dr. Finkel. And what Australia needs more than anything is a broad consensus around a soundly biased energy policy framework into the future. Energy generation is very capital intensive. Investors do need certainty in terms of policy settings. It's very important for us to get this right.
Earlier this year, your frustration with Tony Abbott boiled over when he said the government was, quote, drifting to defeat. You said he was being deliberately destructive and self-indulgent and not helping our cause and not helping our country. Now here he is opposing the clean energy target, which everyone was hopeful might be the bipartisan path to some action here, and telling the 2GB audience that there's no doubt, as things stands, Bill Shorten is the favourite to win the next election. Is this more self-indulgence?
Well, look, I mean, when it comes to the energy policy debate, we are obviously at the beginning of a very important conversation. Dr. Finkel,
is Tony Abbott helping
Friday,
here?
Well, Dr. is participating. Dr. Finkel last Friday released this report. It was obviously put to the Council of Australian Governments. We will now have a very important process within government. I will be engaged in that process. I look forward to all members and senators engaging in that process. Ultimately,
will you talk to Tony Abbott and ask him to keep his comments private?
Well, ultimately, we need to settle on a policy framework that will help bring down the cost of electricity, that will help ensure that we have reliable, secure energy supplies, and that we can still meet our emissions reduction target and generate our energy in an environmentally efficient way. And that's certainly what I'm focused on.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 16 minutes to 8. Our guest is the Finance Minister and Deputy Leader of the Government in the Senate, Matthias Cormann. The government will be legislating changes to the citizenship laws in the next few weeks. A 4-year wait before becoming an Australian citizen, tougher English language test. Now, the opposition has been briefed on the changes. Is it correct that the new English language test will demand English language proficiency of university level? Is that the test and is that fair?
I will let my good friend and colleague Peter Dutton go through all of the specifics. It is true that there is an increased level of English proficiency required. We believe in all of the circumstances that is appropriate, given English proficiency is, of course, an important component of integration into our community. Citizenship is, clearly... Australian citizenship is a great privilege. It comes with responsibilities. We want to ensure that those who join us here in Australia as citizens have the best possible opportunity to be successful, and having very sound and very good English language skills is a very important component of that.
And just one final question on the Gonski Schools funding bill, which will be put to a Senate vote in the next fortnight. Labor's again will vote against it. You still haven't won over the Greens, but that's key. Richard Di Natale told us yesterday the Greens want the $18 billion fast-tracked to schools, and they want the states to guarantee they'll do more of the heavy lifting. Will you come at that? Will you fast-track the spending?
Well, look, we've put $18.6 billion in additional funding into schools, and we have committed ourselves to reforms which deliver genuine needs-based funding, as was envisaged by David Gonski, but never implemented by Labour, who just went for a whole range of very expensive special deals.
But will you speed up that funding, as the Greens are demanding?
Well, you know, our policy is reflected in the budget, but everybody knows that the government doesn't have the numbers in the Senate. So as we always do, business as usual, we are engaging with non-government senators, and my colleague Simon Birmingham, as the Minister for Education, is going through that process as we speak.
So it's possible. You might agree to speak.
Well, our policy is reflected in the budget.
Matthias Cormann, thank you very much for joining us.
Always good to talk to you.
Matthias Cormann is the Finance Minister.